Okay, so I promised you a surprise. And so we kind of set up the studio here to kind of show you. Actually, I shouldn't even say to kind of show you. I went outside, okay? And so the analogy we're trying to paint for you, now the funny part about this is actually that when we were originally setting this up, it was like blowing left, right, and center, and it was raining. And I'm like, oh, we got to capture this so that they know Sandy's real. And now look at it. It's dark, it's nasty, it's not as windy, but anyway, so the analogy for all of this is what your solutions look like when you're not in the cloud, all right? And then this is what your solutions, well, today we went through the migration process, and basically once you're done the migration process, your solutions will look like this. Ah, beautiful, right? Okay, so now we're all in the clouds, everything's good to go. Okay, back to Q&A, let's go, let's do this, let's connect up. We got actually, oh, hello, nice and close on me. Look at that, the cloud is strong, the cloud is strong. Anyway, so I'm going to connect over here to good friend and fellow presenter Tyler. How are we doing? Awesome, let's get you on the screen, get everybody showing. There we go. All right, live Q&A, folks. Bring on the questions, and let's talk it out. Actually, I had a question for you, Tyler, while you were doing your presentation and talking about, you know, bringing the two together, connecting PaaS and IaaS and all that kind of stuff. And I know that you've done a couple of these at this point. Do you find that it's one of those things where it actually looks good on paper but doesn't really work properly in actuality, or is it actually one of those things where, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, it is actually that doable to bridge the two together and not really have them in separate worlds?
It kind of depends on, you know, some of the options that you take as far as, you know, going to the cloud and doing the migration. So some of the things, especially when you're talking about virtual networks and whatever, you know, a lot of the presentations we've kind of been doing and some of those slides, it's just people like myself saying, you know, when you understand how this works, you can kind of see that you can make it work like this, which is great, and people should be thinking about that. But when you actually get down to the brass tacks of actually doing it, sometimes you run into hiccups and different things, and it's not really, like, I wouldn't say that it's the easiest thing to do in the world. It's a kind of a push button, you know, hey, you're all done. There are things to consider and sometimes hurdles to kind of overcome, and every application is different. But it's easier than you think, right? Even with the massive complexity of the applications where you have persistent VM roles and you have web worker roles on this side, it's actually a lot easier than you would think, even though it looks kind of crazy.
You know what, the truth is, and you mentioned that, like, the push button kind of go mentality. And, like, it, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't you, in this particular case, not want that to be an option? Like, if we think back to, you know, Richard's sessions and then the two sessions that I did, and then you touched upon it a little bit as well, when we're thinking about moving things over, it's not like, yeah, okay, forklifts work, but I don't know, to me, and you tell me what you think, but to me, this is sort of a great opportunity to actually reevaluate the app and kind of see where can you take it moving forward, not so much, you know, I literally just want to move it over. Like, to me, there isn't, yeah, you're going to realize some of the value from the infrastructure savings, but isn't it like the actual value of moving something over is that when you actually start using all of these additional services?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. One of the best exercises that I've kind of done, the most fruitful exercises that I've done in the migration to Windows Azure and different things like that, is actually doing the assessments. You know, and actually finding out, like, where are there scalability concerns in your current apps now? Unfortunately, in some cases, I've uncovered some big maybe holes in their disaster recovery in some cases, or scalability, saying that you have a single point of failure in this particular application, right? You're storing data on here. What happens if you actually want to make this into two machines? What happens if this machine goes down? What happened? Like, you know, what's the scenario with that? So doing the assessments actually kind of puts a fresh set of eyes on the applications that you have in your kind of local environment. And
oh, did Did I lose Tyler? Oh, there we go.
Before going
no, I got
the
you
cloud.
Back. This is the this is one of those things where, you know, obviously you guys can see I'm here in Toronto and Tyler's in Winnipeg. So, you know, usually you would say over the satellite, but no satellites here. A little bit of hiccup over the internet, but it's all good. We read you loud and clear.
Awesome. Sorry. I don't know what you had caught, but it's a definitely a really good and fruitful exercise to actually go and like discover what the scalability and elasticity concerns are with your current applications as they exist now, and maybe even how much those applications are costing you, right? It's something that you don't often kind of look back upon right now because they work and they continue to work and everything is fine. But if you ever want to, you know, look at improving or changing how those applications work, and you have to really dig into them and say, well, what are the scalability concerns with this app?
And we had a question I saw you guys talking about in the chat here about, where was it? Oh, considerations relating to statefulness or statelessness in this case and load balancing. So summarize that for me. What do we have to look at when it actually comes to thinking about state and the implications in the cloud services world?
Sure. So the kind of primary thing that you have to consider is, you know, what is the scope of the request, right? You know, what is available to your application in handling a request? And that's the primary thing that I always have to look at. Is a request actually stateless? You know, or does it leave a trail, or does it matter if the request actually gets handled by the same machine as it did previously, and different things like that. So then you're talking about the load balancing concerns. Like if you had 2 or 5 machines where you had one previously, are you going to have a problem with your application? Because, you know, previously you had one machine and it kept session on even the local memory or the local disk. And so if you got the next request, you had the same session data at your disposal. Well, what if another machine gets that following request? You know, does it have the data that it requires in order to handle that request? So the kind of session state in a load balancing scenario is one thing. And then you talked about it as well with the stateless virtual machines in general. Anything that you actually save to the VM, when the VM gets recycled, then the data is gone. So because the roles are stateless and different things like that. So that's another concern, that you actually have proper storage mechanisms, right? And it's something that you should really be thinking about as far as disaster recovery and scalability as well, is that you understand the requirements of your storage, right? So if you're just writing things to different disks and different folders in different places, you probably don't have a kind of singular focus on your data storage. And those kind of things need to be considered. So these are not new concepts. That's what is kind of another main thing, is that, you know, the scalability of an application or being able to load balance your application is not a new concept, but it's something that's required in taking it to the cloud, because in order to get to that 99.95, you have to have more than one instance. So you have to understand that your requests are going to two different machines.
To get a full picture, though, we do have to understand, technically, if you only go with one, right, you still get that SLA. It's just instead of the 99.95, it's now 99.9. Right, so it's up to you in terms of how many instances you want to go, and ideally, obviously, the more instances you go, the better scalability you have, but more so in terms of the higher availability, the more you go, the more share the load. Should something go down, you have that many more machines also taking care of that. But that also works for the load balancing as well. What else do we have? Oh, another question in here was simulating virtual networks with the emulator. So I know you put in the chat there that it's not something that we have right now, and that's true. The other thing I wanted to mention about the virtual networking is that it, at least today, it actually only works with certain types of hardware, right? Like it's not, you can't establish a virtual network between any, like Windows Azure and any router out there. So
right, yeah, and there are some guidance and principles around getting some of the other less, you know, kind of off-brand ones, let's say, to connect to Windows Azure. There's a lot of...
Waiting. Where'd you go? Uh-oh. Look at that. All right, and we'll get Tyler back as soon as possible. Oh, Sandy. Where's Sandy? Is she out here? Oh, I think he's calling me back. Oh, well, how about this? Let us do this. We'll come back to Tyler. Let's switch over to, I guess you just have me now to answer the rest of your questions. So I think that actually covers pretty much all the ones that we have in the chat here. So let me do this. In case you guys have any additional questions, feel free to put them up in the chat there right now. In the meantime, oh, there's Tyler. You know what? Yeah, the joys, exactly. Live shows. Let me call him back over here, see if we can get him. And if we can connect him, then we should be good to go. I love how it says this. Hold on while we try to get your call back. Anyway, I don't think it's actually going to work again. No worries. Don't worry about it, Tyler. Thanks for joining us. Actually, it occurred to me, see, maybe this was intentional. I think you guys had something to do with this because it is actually right at 5 o'clock. No worries there. So basically, what I wanted to make sure that you know is a couple things. First, thank you for joining all three of our workshops. If you did, in fact, join all three, or if you watched individual ones, that's cool too. If you watched them on demand, even better. One of the most important things for me, at least, for this particular workshop and as well for Tyler and Richard, make sure you fill out that eval. The link is on your page there, but in case you don't have it, I guess I could take this out now. In case you don't have it, it is ak.ms/workshop-eval. Fill it in, gives me an idea of what you thought of this particular workshop and what we could do better. By all means, the more information I get, the more we can do these. I'm hoping that we come back to you guys in the January-February timeframe with a whole new series of these. But only your comments will determine that. So if you like this format, you like the interactive parts of the show, you like all that kind of stuff, let us know, because that's what we kind of use to make these decisions. More importantly, I love this. Message comes up. Tyler, of course, apologizes, and then he blames Toronto. But that's fine. I'm used to that. Anyway, back to just a little bit of the admins. So we talked about the eval. Again, if you have questions for us, both myself and Tyler and Richard as well. Richard actually couldn't join us for the live Q&A because he was actually on his way out to a flight out. So we thank him for joining us for the rest of the workshop. Tyler, thanks again for joining us from Winnipeg. You guys for joining us all over. Stay tuned for this and the other two workshops on demand. And that's it from us over here. Hopefully you got a good taste of what Azure can do for you, both in terms of the different variations, building connected applications, which is what we did last week, and then taking your existing applications and migrating them over the cloud. In the meantime, I'm going to switch over, going to bring myself down from the clouds over to Sandy. Where's Sandy? Show me Sandy again. Where are you, Sandy? There we go. This is what I have to drive in, by the way. So for you guys that are taking the train home, lucky. For you guys that are already at home and watching this, even luckier. So hopefully I make it back home all as well, and I will see you again for another virtual webcast at that point. Till then, thanks again for joining. We'll see you another time.